In the morning, Gitmo Nation, and thank you for joining me once again for Just Getting By with Sir Craig and Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
In the morning, Craig.
How are you doing this very nice Friday afternoon?
Waiting for it to be 4 o'clock.
And what is 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon for you?
I get to get into my car and drive 59 miles home from work.
Because you are a slave to the state. Very literally.
Yes, but it's a good job.
It does sound like a good job. Yes, it does indeed. All right, so let's get this show on the road so we can get you home. We have some kind of a little bit lighter stories, not as serious as we have been discussing.
But still depressing.
This first one's depressing, at least. Oh my God! Why don't you take us through this story, starring our favorite politician / environmentalist wacko, Al Gore.
Okay. Al Gore is in need of help.
Oh yeah, we know that, but that's what has he done this time?
He has too many Facebook and Twitter accounts, so he needs to borrow yours. Please help him. This is a very, very important case.
Okay, I am already freaked out, but why don't you go ahead and freak me out even more and explain what's going on.
On the 14th of September, there's going to be something called 24 Hours of Reality. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Chemslave. Yes? You obviously have hit your head, because today is the 16th. Our last show was the 14th. So this is we're a couple of days late. So you kind of told me about this ahead of time, but go ahead. It's still a good story. It's just keep in mind that it happened 2 days ago. All right, go.
Okay, well, on Wednesday, I'm guessing, or was it Tuesday?
It was Wednesday. It was Wednesday.
Our good friend Al Gore had something called the 24 Hours of Reality. God knows what the hell that is. He needs you to donate your Facebook and Twitter accounts so you can help him tweet and message joyous information that he wants to give.
And so what information is that?
That the climate crisis is real and the time to solve it is now.
Now, isn't that nice? And what do you mean by donate your accounts?
Well, they want you to give them your username and password. At least that's how I'm understanding it from the Register article about this. And so they can send out tweets and messages for you during specific times before, during, and after this 24 Hours of Reality.
So they just expect people to hand over their accounts just like that?
Well, it's Al Gore. He's not going to do anything bad with it.
No, of course not. It's not like he's been known to perpetuate a fraud and try to benefit off it. No.
No, of course not.
No, that's just not him. So, okay,
aren't you giving it to him already now?
I am already there. I am so there already. Why don't they just have people do the tweeting themselves? Why do they need to give it to Al Gore's organization?
Well, because people might forget. And you can't forget this, so as many people as you can possibly make know this should know this.
But if you forget, doesn't that mean that you care so little about it that you're probably not going to be a reliable devotee?
Well, it doesn't matter if you're a devotee, Craig. As long as you can carpet bomb this information to as many people as you possibly can, at least some people who might actually give a fuck will actually know. And then we could have profit.
Yes, that's what I think this is about. I think this is a good way for them to get I suspect that they're not going to keep the passwords. I mean, that would just be such a huge public relations nightmare for them that I suspect they won't do that. But I see no reason why they could not keep all the usernames, and especially of Twitter. Facebook would be a little bit more difficult because you need to friend people. But you can start spamming people. Well, you can send a message to anybody, depending on your privacy settings on Facebook. But you can message anybody on Twitter with an at mention. So I can just see this organization carpet bombing this whole community for days, months, weeks, even years into the future because these people were naive enough, stupid enough, to give away their information so freely.
I actually went on their website. They might not be. You might not be giving away your information. I have no idea. Oh, wait. Yes, you can donate your Twitter. Never mind. But already that 108,292 people, as of this very moment where we're talking about this, have liked Climate Reality. So there's 100,000 people who are lost.
You know, I hope those people have their accounts, like, as seriously hacked and, like, destroyed. Those people are so stupid. I mean, who the hell gives their account information out like that? I mean, it's just so stupid. It flies in the face of all common sense.
See, but this has plugins from both the Twitter and the Facebook APIs.
So they won't actually have the information?
Well, they won't have the information. Well, they'll have the ability to read tweets from your timeline. I'm looking from the Twitter side. See who you follow and follow new people so they can add new followers.
That's it. That's all you need to know.
They can update your profile and post tweets for you.
Well, that's scary. They might not be able to log in as you without that API. But even so, I mean, if they have all of that access, and if they can see who you're following, that's it. That's everything on Twitter. Facebook is different, but on Twitter, the people that you follow, that's it. That's all that there is. That is 99% of Twitter right there, the people that you follow.
So no, but on Facebook, there are people who have their privacy settings up so high that you can't actually find them without them actually friending you first. So.
I know. You know, I deleted my Facebook account. But then I thought, you know, this is a very Leo Laporte-esque thing to do. For those of you that don't know, Leo Laporte is a technology podcaster. He has a network, a for-profit network, but it's a good one nonetheless, called This Week in Tech, or TWIT, twit.tv. And he very famously deleted his Facebook account, but then he restarted again just because he felt that he couldn't cover technology and not have a Facebook account. And being as big a geek as I am, I concurred, and I also reactivated my Facebook account. But unlike Leo, I had intended to make my privacy settings so damn high that nobody would be able to search me. That I would have to seek people out. I was only going to have one friend. It was actually going to be you. I had this all planned out. Just so that I would be able to see the various changes and, you know, see the infrastructure. But I hate Facebook, and I do almost nothing on it. But I forgot to change my privacy settings. I always had them pretty high. But I forgot to make it so that people couldn't search for me. So I now have, like 20 friends now. It's annoying. I can't. This would be like the fifth time I've unfriended them. So I can't really do that. So I'm just letting it go. I'm not adding anybody. But I'm just existing. Anyway, I digress. This is a terrible, terrible idea. Anybody at all who gives their account information to these people. deserves to have the worst happen to them. They really do.
I'm tempted to make a fake on Twitter account just so I could donate my Twitter account and see what the hell they do.
Well, it would probably disappoint you just looking at it on the surface. Since you are not likely to have a whole lot of followers, and since you're not likely to be following a lot of people, they probably wouldn't be able to do much with your account. They would probably retweet a couple of links on that day that they're talking about, the 14th. But, you know, aside from that, I don't envision them doing a whole lot with these things on the surface. I think this is more like a data farming thing to get like a the names of people on Facebook and the handles of people on Twitter to, you know, just to compile a list of people that they can spam again in the future. That's what I'm guessing. And they can sell this to other people too.
Well, of course.
I see a lot of profit to be made in this, and I see a lot of ability to really screw over the public in this regard. So do you have anything else to add about this Twitter story? Facebook, Twitter?
Yes. Whatever the fuck you do, do not click and say, hey, sure, or donate your Twitter, donate your Facebook. Of course, by the time this has already been played, it's been too late, so...
Yes.
Hopefully you haven't done that, but if you have, may God have mercy on your soul.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think anybody in our audience would be stupid enough to do that. I hope not. All right, so, you know, as is typical for this show on Fridays, we typically... I just said typically twice in one sentence. That's not good. That's unusual for me. I typically don't say typically in one sentence. I apologize for that. That was terrible. You know, so again, as we usually do at the end of the week, we like to leave on a light note. And for me, that is talking about some frivolous technology story. And this week, we have a really fascinating one. This is a soap opera in the making. By the time this airs, the resolution will probably be known, so I was reluctant to do this. But we have a pretty good idea of what's going on, so I thought, well, what the heck. Chemslave, do you go on TechCrunch a lot?
I read their stories often enough.
Often enough, yes. So do I. And I am a big, big fan of some of the people on there, specifically M.G. Siegler. He is a fantastic columnist, and he is a really well-known Apple enthusiast on the site.
Also like Carr.
Paul Carr. Yeah, he's good. I was going to mention him. Alexia Tsatsis is good. Now, they have a lot of people. They're good at TechCrunch, but they have a fairly risque style, a fairly kind of rebellious style, especially since they've been acquired by AOL. They've constantly flouted AOL's authority and tried to make it as plain as possible that they are no one's bitches. But TechCrunch was founded to be a blog covering technology startup companies that its founder invested in. Chemslave, tell the audience who the founder of TechCrunch is.
Michael Arrington.
Yes, Michael Arrington, yes. For those of you that don't know why we're putting the emphasis on the R, go do a search for Walt Moss Puppet. But Michael Arrington is a very powerful, relatively rich venture capitalist. He's always been a venture capitalist, and he's, always, like, since before the founding of TechCrunch. And He has made no secret of the fact that he invests in many of the companies that he writes about. That was the whole point of TechCrunch. It started out as his own personal blog, just about the companies that he invested in, letting people know what they were about. As it grew more popular, and as he started to break more stories, people started to treat TechCrunch more as a journalistic, you know, kind of news source. And, of course, eventually it blossomed into what it is today, which is a fully-fledged news source, and that is why AOL bought them. They were a very valuable technology blog. Now, Michael Arrington decided it would be a good idea to create a new venture capital firm called Crunch Fund. It was to be invested in heavily by AOL, Arrington's employer, as the owners of TechCrunch. Arrington, by the way, was at the time editor-in-chief, and well, technically co-editor, but really editor-in-chief of TechCrunch. And, you know, for a day, literally less than one day, things looked okay. But then Arianna Huffington came out and said, nope, he's not doing that. In fact, he is no longer an employee at AOL. That led to people thinking, well, wait a second. Was Arrington fired? But then Tim Armstrong, the CEO of AOL, by the way, I should mention, Arianna Huffington is the is a president at AOL, and she is the she's the head of all news and blog, you know, services at AOL. She heads the Huffington Post Media Group at AOL, which is what everybody falls under, including TechCrunch. Tim Armstrong said, oh, wait, no. Arrington is actually employed. It's just that he's not going to be taking an active role in TechCrunch anymore, since that would be a conflict of interest, since he is now investing a lot of money into these companies. Instead, he is an employee for AOL Ventures, their venture capitalist wing of AOL, and he will still write for TechCrunch on a non-paid, irregular basis. But then Arianna Huffington went back and said, nope, he's gone. He is out of there. And it looks like Arrington really is gone. He wrote a caustic blog post on TechCrunch saying, you know, AOL has to sell it back to me, or, you know, allow me to choose my successor, or else I'm gone. And he's gone. He's done. They're in the middle of negotiating a contract settlement. They're going to end up paying him a whole hell of a lot of money to leave. And it's just fascinating. Arrington is a really colorful personality, one of the best known people in Silicon Valley. And people in the technology community are following this story with bated breath. It is fascinating. What do you have to say?
Yeah, this is going to be a very fascinating occurrence, because I believe, was it Carr or Seeler that said that if Arrington is gone and they don't get, and he doesn't get to choose his successor, then he's gone as well. And that would happen with many of them.
Yeah, that was Paul Carr. And he intimated, Paul Carr did, that Arrington could take a huge portion of the TechCrunch staff and form his own rival blog. And he hinted that that's been done before, and indeed it has been. Joshua Topolsky used to be the editor-in-chief over at Engadget, and that was widely seen, along with Gizmodo, as the premier gadget technology blog. I mean, Engadget is the single most valuable AOL property in the blog space. And Joshua Topolsky and about six or eight of the most prominent writers at Engadget left. Left AOL, left Arianna Huffington. And they are now forming their own rival gadget site called The Verge. And so it definitely has been done before. And Joshua Topolsky really castrated Engadget. Engadget is now, I hardly ever read their stories anymore, because I don't know the people. These people are nobodies. It's, the writing isn't as good, the reporting is not as good, I don't recognize any of the names. It's just an unfortunate situation. And Gizmodo actually went through a similar occurrence. There wasn't a mass exodus like there was at AOL Engadget, but at Gizmodo, a lot of the really famous people from there are also gone too. So it's a strange time for the gadget blog world and the technology blog world in general. But it'll be interesting to see if Arrington is forced out under a bad situation, and if M.G. Siegler, Paul Carr, Alexia Tsotsis, Eric Schoenfeld, and a lot of other people that I'm just forgetting right now, if they all go with Arrington to form some new blog, that'll be two of the most valuable AOL brands that have been just eviscerated by defections. And that does not bode well for AOL. And it really will be fascinating to see what AOL's job is in this space a year from now, or two or three or 5 years from now. It'll be interesting. Do you have anything else to add?
Well, I think they'll still be around, just like Yahoo and all the other companies that sort of, they exist.
Yep.
Sort of think about them. Like, oh yeah, I used to use that site.
Yep. There's an argument to be said, to be made, that AOL, its core AOL groups are already just existing. It's just the newly acquired stuff like Engadget and Huffington Post and TechCrunch that have any life still, left in it. And it looks like AOL is sucking that life dry. So we'll see what happens. So, well, you know what? I feel like we have reached the end of the road. We have had a really productive week. We started off strong with talking about Obama and his Jobs speech of the previous week. And we are ending on a good note, a not depressing note. And that's your Mike Arrington. And I'm happy with how we have progressed this week. It's been a good week. So if you enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoy any podcasts on the No Agenda Network, if you enjoy No Agenda itself, please donate to John and Adam, because they need your money to exist, to just get by, and also to, you know, maintain the infrastructure that keeps this show and shows like it running. So go to Dvorak.org/NA or NoAgendaNation.com to learn how to donate. And if you have any suggestions, if you want to lobby for a new co-host to replace Chemslave, or if you... I'm sorry, I've got to start. I have never done this before. I just enjoy tormenting you.
I see some issues that we might have to work out. I think I might have to hit you in the mouth.
Yeah, well, you now have a night ring to do that with. You know, we should be calling you Sir Chemslave.
Nah.
Anyway, if you have any feedback, any comments, any praise or criticism for either one of us, please do not hesitate to email us. The email address is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. That is feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. So, on that note, we will talk to you again next week. Have a good weekend, Chemslave.
You too, Craig.
Thank you.